2:00.
Yeah. Let me convene a regular meeting of the county public. Public Hospital, Dr. Mark?
Yes, sir.
Salmon County Public Hospital District Number 1. So again, a regular meeting. Today's day is January 23rd, 2019. It is 2 p.m. Our normal start time is 3 o'clock, but we're starting an hour early to accommodate a approximately 1 hour work session. There are actually three topics of discussion on the agenda. One is to review and discuss the interim chief's contract. Two is his EMS chief's job description. And three is to revisit our code of ethics, the latter of which is relatively optional relative to the first two. So, can I hear some discussion with regards to the draft contract? This is a product of many, many days working on starting with the Chief Martin's 2015 contract, review of his 2017 contract, review of Rick Frazier's 2017 contract, and then two phone conferences with Richard Davis, legal counsel for the PhD. The final draft was distributed to the board late yesterday to facilitate today's discussion. Mark, you want to start the conversation off?
Well, if we just go through this line by line.
Sure.
So we're having a two-month overlap between the
current chief. Speak up, please.
We have a two-month overlap between the current chief and the interim chief position. So we're basically going to be paying two chiefs over that overlapped interval. I understand the value of having side-by-side training and compensation associated with that at the completion of training. So I don't know how long the training intervals anticipated to take. Is there any idea on that?
Well, the contract calls for 60 days.
Yeah.
That was recommended by our superintendent, among other people, who suffered no overlap whatsoever in 2015. We want to avoid that disaster at all costs. Things are much more complicated now than they were even 3 years ago, in that we have a strong working association with the ACH. We have the community paramedicine program up and running. So there's a lot to learn for Carl.
Yeah, I understand, but my point was his pay starts at the completion of the training cycle. Are you saying the training cycle will be 60 days?
The pay starts
when he starts training.
So you're anticipating February 1st?
Correct.
And so is that in line with the chief then giving 60 days notice?
I believe so.
And that's not
excellent question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So right. We don't know that yet.
Well, he, obtain his severance, Chief Martin, I'm referring to now, he has to give at least 60 days notice. I think that's going to happen. And I think the time frame on this draft contract, i.e. February 1st, makes sense.
That preserves his PTO time and so forth, his bank.
Yeah, correct.
He wants to catch that. Okay. Well, I don't want to monopolize the conversation here, but I do have some questions.
Well, go ahead. We'll just start with you, and then we'll go to Annalisa.
All right. Well, the salary.
Uh-huh.
How was that arrived at? Current chief salary is $120,000.
Correct.
And how was the $105,000 arrived at?
Current chief was part of this negotiation, if you want to call it that, and he recommended, since Carl is going to assume all his jobs and responsibilities, we should strike it at under 20. I personally did not feel that was appropriate. Granted, I agree with Chief Martin in terms of duties and responsibilities, but if you look at the history and sophistication both bring to the table, by definition, Carl's a junior member and Chief Martin's a senior member.
Mm-hmm.
Was that to some degree arbitrary? Actually, my initial recommended offering was countered. So this reflects Carl's counter and his counsel. However, I feel it's well within the ballpark. Again, ultimately, the decision is made by the board. not by me. I'm just trying to do some background, get stuff on paper for us to discuss and to ultimately make a ruling on.
Yeah, I understand. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
And as far as the PPO code, you'd mentioned that the chief is currently 44.
That's my understanding, and Coral currently is at 24. So basically, it's splitting the difference. I initially recommended 34. Carl's count was 37. I think either number is frankly arbitrary. Again, you know, since Carl represents a junior entity and in the world of being a chief, you know, he's not up to 44. He's there at 37 currently.
So splitting the difference would be 34 PTO.
That's correct.
I'm wondering if that is perhaps a more reasonable position.
Well, it depends on how you define reasonableness. I don't see any, this is over 1 year's time, I don't see any fundamental difference between 34 and 37.
We're talking 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days of tax care money.
Yeah.
And extra staffing. That's a good point.
Okay, Mark?
I think done.
Stage zero, sir. Fire away. Great questions, by the way.
I had a question just historically about healthcare. Just in my experience, there's a deduction for the employee, and this, it says the deduction is paying 100% and 90% for family members. And I was just asking Mark about that prior to the meeting, and he said that that had shifted over the years, that particular policy?
You know, Annalise, it's been at 100% for the employee. Uh-huh. And actually, probably going back 3 years and prior, it was 100% for the dependents. And we ratcheted that back. As insurance costs went up, we changed plans virtually on a yearly basis. Is it generous at 100%? Yeah, is it extraordinary? No.
Okay, no, I hadn't, I was just asking. Yeah. It's just a surprise to me. I'm used to paying a portion.
Yeah.
There was a bill tightening. We did ratchet back.
Right. But then, and we got cheaper plans to boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's an option here. If the employee wants to option up, they can do that with their health care and pay the difference.
That's great. Okay.
That was the option down originally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just curious about that.
Any other questions at this time on Lisa? Okay, we'll keep going in circles till you guys are tired of this. Rebecca, you're next.
I would just see how this fits into the budget. So we have the budget set, and we're going to be paying, like you said, two salaries for 2 months, and severance pay. So where is that money going to come from? That would be my question. And I don't have a copy of the budget because I forgot to bring it. That would be a question.
Yeah, and Chief Martin and the CPA, Chris Compton, are going to be in attendance after 3, and that's a great question for them. I don't have the figures off, top of my head either.
You have about $194,000 over the anticipated 4-month lag. You have about $194,000 buffer someplace in the budget. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to propose that we spend it. I'm just telling you what, because I went over that last night in the EMS budget, not in your guys' budget.
One of the components you mentioned, Rebecca, is severance pay. That's only for being excused without cause. And given this individual's history and track record, I think that's very unlikely, possibly very unlikely. But the requisite is some training overlap. We can't get away from that. We can't get away from Chief Martin's severance, which amounts to 6 months.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, assuming that he gives 60-day notice, in previous contracts.
And that's in the budget.
Yes.
Anyway, that is included in the budget.
It is.
The things that are outside the budget is just the 2 months overlap.
That's correct.
Which is not that much.
It's 20 grand or something.
Yeah, so from a budget standpoint, we should have.
In terms of how that works is, so there will be a two-month overlap where Carl is working to be the interim chief, and then who's moving into, like, will then somebody be moving into his position as well?
Correct. And the name of which escapes me, but they already have an individual selected and who's willing to fulfill.
Okay.
So Carl's going to be, he's going to be
training and also training.
Exactly. He's going to be learning from Jerry, and he's going to be training the individual who's going to take over his director of operations position.
And that job is actually changing to the director of operations. They're taking the four full-time EMTs and kind of taking that job and splitting it up.
Okay.
So there'll be four, so that we won't have to hire two different people. So it's going to be one of the EMT full-time slots.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, Rebecca, any more questions or comments or observations this time?
No.
Are we, well, part of this contract is the job description also?
Yeah, so I thought, you know, they're like frick and frack, but I thought we would cone in on the contract aspect first and then cone in on the job description.
Okay,
so are you done for now?
Yes.
Okay, Warren?
2.6, it says the word appropriate. I'd put a number in there. You're hiring an interim chief that may be 3 months, 6 months, a year, and you're going to buy a membership in multiple appropriate professional associations for a year. How many is he going to get to? How many is he really going to use? I'd put a limit the number, make him pick the two most important ones, save the money on membership dues to other ones, because I just don't think you're going to end up using them.
Actually, Warren, I think that they're already in place. We just have to change the chief's name.
That's fine. But
it's not going to be a new membership for him. It's going to be the continued membership to the organization.
That would be fine with me. But
yeah.
Just the other one on 738, that says staff, that's too vague. That's got a better definition. You're not going to be able to support that
in
any termination.
738.
738. 7.3, number 8, theft. Page 3.
So, Nathan, are you taking notes on these comments?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Also, there needs to be another one on with cause termination is de-delegation. I don't know if this applies. Well, I guess it would apply because Carl does have a DLS delegation. The issue we had with the Stone contract was when he was de-delegated, it was assumed that that terminated the contract between San Juan County Public Hospital, San Juan EMS, and Stone. It doesn't. That contract was not, that, when the de-delegation did not stop that contract, and to my knowledge, that contract has not been terminated, and that should have been terminated 15 months ago. Katie Holstein, during the 8-6 meeting, brought that up, that there should be a de-delegation that would terminate this contract because he's being hired, whoever is hired is being hired because they have the base EMT or advanced EMT or paramedic. And if they lose that, that eliminates them from this contract. So there should be a de-delegation clause in there that immediately does that. Right now, we still have a contract, from what I understand, with Sean Stone that has not been terminated.
That doesn't have anything to do with this one. So
yes, it does, because Carl is an EMT.
Okay.
And if he doesn't have his EMT qualifications and something happens with his EMT qualifications and he gets de-delegated, like Stone did, that should terminate this contract.
So we're...
But in the Stone contract, that wasn't in there, and we had a responsibility as an agency to terminate the Stone contract, and I haven't seen anything come across my desk that terminates this contract. And there's still a legal liability on that contract. And this is basic contract law. So there, okay, if he gets, there should be another clause in here. If he gets de-delegated, it automatically is a cause, is with cause under 7.3. So there should be.
Doesn't this say somewhere in there though that
no,
he has an EMT?
Yeah, well, it, the job description
EMT, so
under requirements number 4,
yeah,
possess and maintain state of Washington EMS certification.
So if
EMT,
that,
paramedic, or flight nurse.
Right.
So if he doesn't have
but
doesn't
in the Stone contract, it was cause there and it never got terminated. This makes it automatic, that it's an automatic termination. There's no question about it. He knows in advance. There's no argument about it. It happens.
So you suggest that council insert it where then?
7.311.
Okay. Did you make note of that?
And, yeah, I did.
And
also,
I can go over that with you. And
yeah, do that, Warren. And, yeah, and also note that there is a somewhat redundant proviso in the job description under requirements number 4.
But it needs to be under with cause, as a cause, is de-delegation. That is a cause of...
Okay.
Just both sides have notice. I would also... I have questions about more discussion on the same issue that's been brought up. We're training someone for a job. Someone is going into training for the job. Someone else is taking their previous job, so it's not like they're doing double duty. They get paid more. But all of a sudden, we're spending money on that two-month thing, X amount of money, and we talk about it in the abstract, but in the reality, we have long-term care that needs $50,000. We have someone else that needs something. I'm going to put a motion on to spend some money later today. And I think as a board, we need to look at, we get offers and counteroffers. Maybe we make an offer back while you're getting your training and you're getting education that's going to go ahead in your CV and that has value, and we're paying you at the higher rate. I just think we need to discuss it. I think $105,000 is too much. We need to spend the monies in other places and see where it goes.
So are, you're saying like the 60-day period of training
is less?
Is education. I mean, he's being trained for education. The ultimate responsibility still lies with the chief to sign things. And I'm happy to pay Carl a good wage. I'm just wondering if 100, that 105, or that 2 month, 2/12 of 105, whatever that is beyond what I would expect for someone to go to school. And
it's 8750 minus the salary.
Pardon?
It's 8750. Two months, two divided by 12, 105,000 divided by 2 months is 8750. What we subtract from that is salary that he's getting now. So it's not all the 8750.
Yeah.
But the point, I think the point is we're paying two chiefs.
Yeah,
you're
we're paying two chiefs at the same time.
We're paying a differential on Carl's salary between what he's making now and what he would be making during this two-month interval.
Right.
We're also paying someone to do Carl's job.
But 8750 is also 1/6 of what long-term care is looking for in, to start their program. I mean, it's we have finite resources.
Right.
Where that 8750.
I agree.
If I was Carl, I'd want the 8750, but I'm not Carl. I'm a commissioner, and I'm thinking maybe we spend the money, talk about spending the money someplace else.
Well, once again, it's not the 8750. It's the differential between what he's making now and what he would be making at 105K.
Yeah, right.
Divided by
212, 1/6.
Have you found those numbers, Mark?
Yeah, it's 8750 is for the 2 months.
8,700.
I don't know what he's making now.
He's making about 65 or thereabouts.
So
is that correct?
58 something.
It's 58,000.
Say again.
58.
He's making 58. Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm okay with once he's full chief, paying him full chief stuff. But while we're educating, I'm not okay with that. He's getting an education from the chief. He's getting an education from Pam and Nathan. He's actually going to school, and his signature as the chief doesn't become official during those 2 months. After the 2 months, great. But during the 2 months, if we're at 58 and 105 during those 2 months,
he's going from two on, six off, which is what his current job is. His current job is 2 days on, 6 days off, and he's going from that to 7 days on, basically. So you're looking at that situation too, and he's going to, you know, starting on a lot of the meetings that he's going to representing the agency. So, you know, maybe less, but...
Yeah, calculate it. We need to have that discussion. I'm not saying that pay him 58. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but 105, it's a drill for us in prioritizing where we're spending money. That's number one.
So the difference.
And we have a lot of people out there that, in our community, the people we represent, they're saying, where's long-term care? And we want to promote that. And are we going to spend them, you know, if that's one value. The other value is we want someone well-trained that's connected.
So what's the actual dollar figures?
$6,667, if my numbers are correct.
Say again?
$6,667 for the two-month interval, if my numbers are correct.
Okay. So I think we need to discuss it, and we need to be really open about that discussion. And... and check on the professional associations, and are we double dipping, asking to have two on during the 2 months, or what's going on there? I don't know. I have no problem with the LEF or the PERS. The reality of 7 days, the 24/7, 365. The reality is that is not that big of a deal. Right now, our chief is doing it 3.5, 4 days here in Off Island, 3 days, and it hasn't been a big issue.
That's because he's working Off Island. I mean, he's
But a lot of the responses are through the paramedics, and they're handled paramedic level and base doc level.
Okay.
So I'm not arguing against the 7 days. I just don't know if the value of the 7 days is really all that. If the 7 days is really 7 days very often.
Well, okay.
But I understand that Carl might, his level of involvement will be more than my experience has been over the last year. More than my experience has been over the last year. So I think we need to look at the dollar amount during those two-month period, and try to save some money there to spend in other areas. And I think that's fair, just my feeling.
What are your thoughts on the PTO?
On the, the paid time off?
Yeah.
I wish I had it when I worked.
Includes vacation as well as sick leave.
Yeah, that's a lot, but I haven't really thought about it that much, to be honest.
So it would work out, we're talking $863, the differential, based on $105,000 a year, 3 days.
It's what again? Speak up.
$863.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not a huge issue, but
and again, it's arbitrary. Again, it's in the ballpark.
Right.
Again, historically, going back as recently as 2017, and particularly in 2015, we did comp 78 game. And so what Jerry got from the get-go and then the second go-around was well within reason in terms of what his competitors get. So, just the inference here is that that applies to Carl.
I had a question on the 2.3 with regard to the vehicle. And it says appropriate vehicle for personal professional use on and off island after the initial training period. So we'd have to come up with another vehicle during this interval after the training period.
No, it would be Jerry's vehicle or like kind.
Okay.
A second one you're asking?
I am asking. That is a question. Is it a second vehicle?
No, I think the intention here, Mark, was to have one special purpose vehicle for the chief, and as long as Jerry is with us, for him. And then as soon as Jerry is gone, then Carl would inherit Jerry's rig.
Okay, maybe we ought to put that in so many words.
Okay, let me clarify that.
Well,
Nathan,
it says after initial training period, so, you know, perhaps the term at the top where it says commencing February 1st needs to be contingent upon the current chief's exit, and then that takes care of that. I wonder if we ought to split the difference in terms of when his salary begins. You know, maybe the first month he operates at his current level, and then the second month he takes on the next, yeah, this particular, just to kind of as a compromise. But I do think that the term needs to be contingent upon Chief Martin's notice, correct?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be in place with a contract and then have a chief that isn't exiting.
We can say that.
So ultimately, before this is voted upon formally by the board, we're going to have to know.
Yeah.
When the chief is leaving.
So this date, you're assuming, is flexible then based on that?
Oh, I think this deed is going to work from what I understand. So
okay,
it's a good.
I still think it should be contingent upon.
Well, you could add that proviso too, but I think by the time we get around to actually formally voting on this document, we'll know the answer to your question.
Okay, great.
But further on this point about the personal use of the vehicle off island, I think we should restrict that.
We should what?
Restrict it. I don't think that there should be personal use of the vehicle off-island for
no.
the interim chief.
I think that wasn't meant. That you have to have him use it off-island, otherwise he can't get to any of the meetings.
I mean, tomorrow they have...
That's not personal use.
That's not personal use.
It says personal use off-island.
Well, all the medics have it.
Personal use of their Sprinter vehicles off-island?
They have
their Sprint vehicles?
Yes, I believe that they do. So,
Kyle, is that
that's true?
That is not my understanding of
okay.
it.
Thank
that
you.
It's guarded use for pre-approved training off island.
Yeah, that's not personal.
Well, I think official use makes sense. Personal use is fine. It's not fine. But, you know, case in point is that Jerry and Lainey and Carl were going over to Snow One for community paramedicine all-day meetings.
That's
so
professional.
That's official.
Professional.
Mm-hmm. And that should be included.
I agree.
So we just changed that to say
personal is what he's saying.
Yeah, I understand that.
Oh, okay.
And I think that should be negated. You know, we're not doing business here. We're exchanging opinions, so. Okay, Annalisa.
I'm fine.
Okay. Rebecca.
I'm fine. I think we just have to talk more about it in the next session.
You're talking about today?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I just have, we're not going to get this, I mean, the real, once we make changes and we go back and forth, then Pearl's going to have to go back to his attorney, so it's not going to happen today.
Yeah, I sort of implied that.
Yeah.
So first of all, we have some excellent points that need to be submitted to our council.
Uh-huh.
That's going to take time. It's not going to happen before the sun sets today, that's for sure. Carl has conferred with his legal counsel this morning. She has some concerns relative to just a few items that we haven't even talked about. I have yet to see that. That needs to be processed by the attorneys for the most part, as well as our concerns need to be shared with Carl in terms of possibilities and palatability. So, yeah, we're going to have to call a special meeting. It's not surprising. It's unfortunate, but, you know, we have to do it right. and not be unreasonable in our timeframe demands for Carl and his council.
So are you envisioning that as perhaps next week, special session?
Yeah, if it goes that way, I would say Monday, Tuesday next week. Certainly before the 1st, February 1st. Okay. And frankly, the sooner the better. You know, once we sign off on this, put it to bed, get it operational, you know, it's going to make it easier on all parties concerned.
Okay.
Warren, any more comments, sir?
Yeah, on the wage again. If I, 105,000, and assuming 58,000 is the current wage per month, that's a delta of $3,917. And he's going to be going to school for 2 months before he becomes the full chief. I don't mind paying the full chief $105,000. But it's an educational thing. That's $8,000 almost. That delta over 2 months, and I'd split the difference.
Yeah.
While he's a student learning, and he's a quick learner, magna cum laude and all that stuff. And that leaves us, you know, once he has full authority to sign, $105,000 or $8,750 a month. Before that, I would do $7,250 a month for those 2 months.
That's kind
of
leaving
you $3,000 to put into another program, which is needed out there.
So splitting the difference was mentioned by Annalisa.
Yeah, and that would be the difference.
And this is up for contractual negotiations. It's already been happening here for a good number of days.
Yeah,
I think they're excellent points, and they shall be shared with Carl as well as our council.
What was the number you said again, Dr. Appleton? You said 70 what?
The 7,250 for the first 2 months of the in the interim period.
Okay.
While he's basically
during training.
Once he takes over as the acting interim chief as opposed to the student interim chief, we can use those terms. Then I'm okay with the 105.
So I guess
the other issue I have is when it terminates, when something happens that there is now not an interim but another entity being the chief, do we need to talk about that in this document to make sure that that transition is smooth? I don't know.
Well, you know, there are a lot of unknowns here. That's part of the dilemma. One is a potential consolidation with Fire 3, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that certainly can be addressed. So say you have somebody who replaces Carl. Carl reverts back to a like-kind position here at EMS or in the confines of a joint entity. That can be addressed in the new chief's contract quite handily, I think. So. I think at this point in time, it would be impossible to address that now because there are too many unknowns.
Well, we do even. I mean, we address it in here in the effect that we say that he goes back to his prior position or a similar position. There's a
Correct.
Few places in here where we already address that.
At the previous pay.
Correct.
That's not in there. You're going to say back to that position.
I think it is, or it used to be in there.
I think it is, too, but when we left.
Yeah, with the same wages and benefits, I'm almost positive.
7.1.
What's that?
7.1.2.
Thank you.
17.1.2.
He should be returned to that position immediately following and will receive the salary and benefits he was receiving immediately prior to the commencement of this agreement.
There you have it.
So it's right there.
Okay, and in term page 1.2, compensation, second sentence. Such salary be negotiated after the first 6 months of employment, thereafter every 12 months. What does that mean? Such salary. We already, in sentence one, we laid out the salary. We're going to be renegotiating this contract in 6 months at a different salary?
Well, conceivably, he's an at-will employee. He's not a union-represented employee. So this is an opportunity for both parties to evaluate his salary going forward on a regular basis.
And this is a six-month, that's saying this is a six-month contract, basically, interim chief for 6 months, at which point we review it.
And then 12 months.
And then it goes 12 months like the regular, if it stays on for then.
No, the initial term, as to my understanding, is 1 year, Rebecca, with the review at 6 months at the pleasure of the board.
Okay, well, this says 6 months on here.
No, well, we struck that.
I know, but...
It says such salary shall be negotiated after the first 6 months of employment. Employment as the interim chief or employment period, that sentence is vague, open to lots of interpretation. I think you just set the salary for a year with the caveat that if something happens in 6 months, he falls back. I mean, 6 months, we'll be doing this again in May and June for 6 months, which is in July. I don't get it.
So, main note of that, Nathan?
You just want to remove that clause?
Yeah, personally, I don't feel strongly about that proviso.
It's the attorney in me always thinking of divorce before the wedding. I'm just trying to think about what happens, how you plan those things.
Well, right now, the common is 12-month reviews.
So if you strike the 6 month review, you have 12 month review, which is fine with me. And that's something that Nathan and I put in there, and you know, it's obviously subject to being struck by the board, and that's fine. Okay, more than anything else?
The further definition of theft, I mean.
Right, that's already noted.
Yeah.
Dr. Mark? Oh, Lisa? Rebecca. Okay, great. One.
Under Exhibit B, A, it relates directly to what you were just talking about. Could you give me clarity on how you want to change that? Because it's connected to that clause in the agreement.
So where are you here?
Exhibit B.
Exhibit
the first
B.
Paragraph.
Exhibit B.
Yeah, the last page.
The job meeting.
Let's go with Exhibit A.
Yeah, Exhibit A, page six, second paragraph.
He was talking about the fact that we're striking the six-month thing, so this ties in with it because it says that reviewed at 6 months.
Yeah. Okay, but the job description that I'm looking at, the second paragraph has a six-month proviso too, so they both need to be struck.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So if there's no other comments at this time,
I lied. I have one more comment.
Okay.
So when we talked about the differential between the set and Warren, you were talking about the differential between the salaries.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that his salary was $58,000 now, because someone said that. I don't know what it is.
So it's, I don't know what the difference. Nathan knows what it is, so that's what it is.
We looked it up.
So the difference is 66, 67.
It's like 57,
yeah, the difference per month is 87.50. But, yeah, so the first numbers were based on the assumption of $65,000, but it's actually $58,000.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the $58,000 rate then, it's...
58 is 48.33.
33 cents, that's right.
And 105 is 87.50 with a delta of 39.17.
That's correct.
Basically.
So by $8,000.
Okay.
Unless we split the difference, then it's... whatever.
Okay, got it.
Okay, great. So let's move on to the job description. We have 20 minutes left. Also, I should mention, now that I remember, is that drop dead time for this entire meeting is at 5 p.m. to accommodate an ongoing EMS recruiting class. So we should make it if we move on. No, but I hats off to our new EMTs, so precious. So, again, 2019 job description, duties, interim EMS chief / administrator. As I mentioned just a bit ago, I suggest that we strike the entire second paragraph. Warren mentioned maintenance of EMS paramedic or flight nurse certification. As a proviso to staying in the job, I absolutely agree. Whether or not number four is sufficient reference to that, that's up to council.
Packet. I picked up my packet yesterday, and this piece is missing that I reviewed last night.
That one that I gave you back? Can you
what do you need?
I picked up my packet yesterday to read it last night. Stuff went in the packet this morning that I didn't pick up last night.
Okay.
So I'm just getting one piece of paper to catch up
sure.
on, guys. Teach me for being early.
Well, I thought I updated it when I came in.
Well, sure. No. That's okay. You weren't there yesterday when I picked it up. That's cool. Right. That's fine.
So what are you missing? Are they missing the job description?
Warren? I was missing the job description.
I think I have an extra one in here.
Well, I think it should be in here.
I got a freestanding one. And I
think I got two.
Okay, then I will.
I think that's what happened.
I think I had like six. So
I had an extra one. In my
it's in two different places.
Or no, I ended up with
here
two.
Here you go,
one of
you.
You're welcome.
I ended up with two of these.
One of them is in line.
But it's called belt and suspenders on the leases, so it's okay.
The one of them is in line with the contract as Exhibit A, and the other is freestanding. So they're essentially the same.
Okay. Requirements number five, minimum of 7 years with at least 1 year as the chief officer with managing administrative duties. So we're taking his position as operations and applying it to that. Is that what we're saying?
Well, it could be that.
Page one, requirements five.
It could be that, or it could be his running his own business. I mean, it could be, we could pick any one of those things.
So which number is
number
it?
Number five.
Five?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just the term chief officer is what you're...
I mean, he owned his own business and managed an administration duty, so that could be called the chief officer.
And that included keeping the books as well.
Yes.
So.
And guess how the sentence says. Have a minimum of 7 years EMS experience, comma, including at least one. And the comma, according to my graphing of sentences taught to me by my English teacher mother, the comma makes that subordinate clause refer back to EMS experience. That would not imply his job. But there is comparable experience as determined by the board. We just have to make that determination. That's what I'm saying.
He is a chief officer as the operations director.
That's what I started out as. Does that apply? Do we agree that applies?
Well, he is a chief officer in EMS, so I would think that would apply, yes. Okay.
He's a captain.
Okay. What's that?
His rank is captain.
Chief officer, it doesn't say captain or lieutenant because it depends on what situation you're in. Well, we could just decide to leave it in and say as determined by the board. Does that count? So we can.
I'll put a line through the word chief. Delete the colon.
Okay, we'll put Nathan. You catch that?
You want chief gone, so just 1 year as a officer with management?
An officer.
Yeah.
As an officer. Okay.
And he attests that he is knowledgeable of the applicable laws pertaining to EMS safety and special district operations, paragraph 9. I don't know if he is up on all the RCWs
I think that came
or the
up
wax. I just don't know.
During the course of the interviews, did it not?
Yes.
Anybody have a clearer recall? I do.
And part of that is the ICS programs which he's taken and the safety classes which he's taken. So I think he noted that he has that experience. We talked about that in the interviews.
Yeah, and the interviewing group, the original one, tasked to evaluate these individuals. We shared this job description that we're looking at now.
Okay.
So they are fully aware of the working criteria that we're going by. And so are we, frankly. We should have addressed some of this during the course of our interviews, to tell you the truth. But.
Okay.
discussion earlier about deleting the entire second paragraph on page 6. I think we should leave the last sentence of that paragraph.
Oh, that's a good idea. At the end of the assignment, the interim chief will revert to a lifetime.
Yeah, that's actually addressed in the contract itself.
Oh, that's right.
So you can leave it there if you want to, but it's redundant, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, 7.1.2.
Okay, there it is.
Any further comments?
Thank you, sir. Mark?
Pertaining to Exhibit A.
Right. Nothing more. Exhibit B.
Okay. Again, some of this is redundant, particularly E, referencing 37 days of PTO.
What does it say?
And we can strike that, I would think, because it is redundant. The folly of this is that these two documents, even though they are joined at the hip, were worked on in completely different time frames, and we didn't cross-reference them as ongoing basis, nor did counsel. So we apologize for some redundancy, but I would suggest we strike. In Exhibit B, E.
We have is the same. So we have retirement on the contract on 2.1. It says that this can pay the employer's portion of leftovers retirement system as applicable. And then and retirement A, B, A is the same thing, the same exact words. Mm-hmm. So we could take that out.
Okay. Did you catch that, Nathan?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, sorry. Did you get that?
Echolalia.
Well, actually, you can just ask Carl which one he's under. If you're either under left two or first, you don't have to have both. One of them. He's going to be under one. He won't be under both.
They're left two now. Yeah, we went around and around on that after Friday when we were discussing with counsel. If things change, at least the contract will be accommodating to reverting back to first two, but...
First two will come back in the next glacial period.
Yeah, who knows?
The firefighters usually have their way, even if they have their way.
And okay. Paragraph A will have to be changed again. That's the one that you marked, Nathan, I think, with the 6 months.
Yep.
Do you want to leave in 12-month review, or you want that whole thing gone?
Then we'll leave in the 12-month review and the other one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, why do we have it? If we have it in the contract, why do we have it at all?
You can strike it as well. Any redundancy we can strike as long as we're happy with the contract, which is the driving force of these two documents.
Exhibit B is just a little redundant, but it was in the original. Exhibit B is a little redundant just overall. It's just meant to be an overall summary of the benefits the district provides. And that's how the 2015 chiefs contracted it. So that's why that was in there. But
And in this, the current chief's contract has this 12-month review. We haven't reviewed Chief Martin in the past year.
It was supposed to have been done in December. The contract said it should have been done last December, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
We did the superintendent.
So, yeah.
We probably need to get that on the agenda.
The only mistake we made in 2018.
Past board, we do that, so we missed the December deadline.
Yeah. Okay, we get so enamored with reviewing Pam's contract, I guess we forget about the chief.
You probably didn't, because you weren't sure when he was leaving. You thought maybe he might be leaving in 3 or 4 months, and then it just got snowballed, yeah. Yeah, you should review it, though. You should.
Yeah.
Could be reviewed.
So.
Maybe we can put that on for the next meeting.
I've got it down.
Okay. Good.
So.
Anything else? Oh, Lisa. Rebecca.
So, I'm sorry. I'm going back and forth. So where does it talk about the annual review in, which number is it in the contract?
Let's see.
Yeah, but there's in the contract.
It's under compensation.
Yeah.
Section 2.
Oh, thank you.
And thereafter, every 12 months, if there's a period of filling with the current level.
I think there's another section that has it, too.
So that would have to be changed. And then?
Annual review also is Section 9. It has this on the section as well. Section 9.
We're going to review it 6 months. And then start annually after that.
That's how it was originally. You guys just took that out. Did she just take that out?
As far, well, you know, we haven't made decisions, but the suggestion was, as far as reviewing the salary or?
No, as far as reviewing the job, the doing the job.
Yeah.
We have someone that's going to be teaching, someone that's going to be learning, and we're putting a review out from us for a year out. That's a fair amount of time. And we're assuming the teaching and the learning is going to be very good. There's a lot of factors. Maybe we should review it 6 months and then yearly after that.
So the six-month review is specific to his salary.
Yeah, I've made
we don't have another six-month overall review.
An overall review at 6 months. So we can just, and we can review what he's doing and he can review us and about just
Article 9 annual review would lend itself to revision.
Annual review starting after 6 months in the job.
Yeah, so we can.
We'll have enough data then to say, oh, okay, we're doing fine, or geez, we really think we should be doing this. Give them some leeway, but if I was him, I would want a review in 6 months.
Conduct.
I used to have employees, they all got 6 months reviews to start out.
Right. So basically, Warren, you're just broadening the review, not to specifically review his salary, but his job performance and this and that. You know, I think it's a great idea. Any other comments from the board?
It should probably be 6 months following completion of training.
Uh huh.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so in the absence of additional comments, let's take a 5 minute break. Very good. We'll be back. We convene at the usual time at 3:00.